Truth or consequences? That's John 8:31 and 2 and Psalm 119:67. Thus saith the Lord, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the truth. The consequences. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Before we look into these texts, let's take a moment and quiet our hearts and let's ask God to open them up to us. Father, as we come to the preaching of your word, we first and foremost, we thank you for it. We know it's truth. We believe it. And we just thank you for it. I pray that your spirit would walk amongst us. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we do pray, Father, that you would call that one or draw that one to yourself. Stir hearts, Lord. All for your glory. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak through me to your people. You know what they need. Take charge of this message. For we know that your word goes out and does not come back without accomplishing what you sent it out to do. And so we ask this with faith and again in Christ's name. Amen. Truth or consequences? That's the story of life. I remember telling you all when my granddaughter was very little. She was about 4 years old. I had told her to do something. She said she did it, and she didn't do it. Or she didn't do it all. And so her brother, who was older than her, he was about, he was about seven. She was about four. Was having dinner at my house with Meredith and I one night. And our grandson said, "Hey, Mariah, why don't you tell Papa what you did?" And I never forget it. This little girl, I don't think she weighed 30 pounds, and she was as cute as a button, and it still is. And she sat there and seemed to melt in that chair, like, oh no, the pressure's on. And I calmed her right down. I said, "Oh no. I said, "It's okay. I don't care what you've done. We'll talk about it. That's all." And so I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "Well, you know, you told me to throw away all those Pokemon cards." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I threw them all away, but I kept one." And I said, "Well," I said, "that doesn't seem so bad, but I have a question. Why would you keep that one card?" She said, "It was my favorite card." I said, "Okay." I said, "So what do you think we should do?" Because I had explained to them that they don't need to have pocket monsters in their pocket, because that's what Pokemon cards are. And they were going to church at the time, and they were going to Sunday school, so they knew. And she said, "I think I should throw it away." I said, "Will you do that for me, or will you do that for you?" She said, "I'll do that for you and for me." I said, "Okay." And so the tension was broke, and I just couldn't shut my mouth. I said to her, "So, why do you think you did that, besides it being your favorite card? Do you think there was another reason?" And she put her head down, and I'll never forget this, 4 years old. She put her head down, and she said, "Good choices, good consequences. Bad choices, bad consequences." 4 years old, I almost fell off the chair. I mean, she didn't think about it. It just came right out of that sweet little mouth. She understood at 4 years old that there are consequences to your action. And as we grow up, we do find out that those consequences, they never go away. Our text this morning concerns the truth, and it concerns consequences that go along with truth. Truth and consequences, they're like up and down. You can't have one without the other. I dare say that the greatest question man has ever asked was, "What is truth? What is truth?" And ironically, the man who asked it was Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was looking directly at the living truth, the only truth. He was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. But he didn't get it. He didn't know it. But I absolutely assure you that are listening, he knows now. And that's because death always reveals the truth. So what is truth? We live in an age today where nobody knows what it is anymore. So I ask you, what is it? There's only, in this whole universe, just like there's only two tribes of people in God's eyes, the saved and the lost, there's only two truths, man's truth and God's truth. There's no third truth, just two. To most of the world, truth is whatever man conceives it to be. We see that in current events, don't we? Today, even today. New York Times, The Post, The Times, The Post, Time Magazine, ABC, NBC, CNN, and a host of other reporting agencies have claimed they're telling us the truth about our president. Now, I'm not political. As you know, I'm apolitical. I don't care because I know God's in charge of it ultimately. But here are these people telling us that they're telling us the truth. But we see by the things that they report and the things they don't report that they're giving us the truth they want us to have. I think it's fair to say that's exactly how all of men's truth works. Whether it's a news agency or whether it's a college, a university, no matter what it is, all of man's truth works the same way. That is, man's truth is always biased. It's seasonal. It has to be updated. It's limited in its time and its scope. It's all the same. That means, and listen, this is very important. That means that man's truth is not a fact. It's only a temporary understanding that's subject to change. That's all that man's truth is, subject to change. It's an understanding. It's the truth today. Because what's true today may not be true tomorrow. How do we know that's true? Well, I'm 70 years old, or almost 70 years old, and I've seen a lot of truth in my life, and I've seen how it isn't around anymore. The moral truths have changed. I'm talking about our country, of course, but the whole world is really included because man's wisdom or man's truth, it's the same all over the world. The moral truths are not the same anymore. There was a time when a woman had an abortion, she'd be put in jail. Today it's a right. There was a time when same-sex marriage was outlawed. It was perverse. It was punished. But today it's legal. I went somewhere not too long ago, and I told a waitress. I was in a restaurant, and I told the waitress, I said, I want to go to the restroom, but I don't know which one to use. That's how much truth has changed. You can't go to the bathroom anymore. It's terrible. Man's truth changes. The moral truth has changed. How about the legal truth? There was a time when you smoked a little weed and they caught you, you were busted, you were going to jail or paying a heavy fine. It's legal now. How about sanctuary cities? Federal law says one thing and the politicians in another city say that's not the truth. What we have is the truth and what we're going to do, you have no call on and still give us your money. Now, I'm not pushing anything. I'm just putting it out there. There's no federal jurisdiction. What happened to that? That was a truth. This country was founded on. And our societal truths. What about them? Fake news. What a word. What words? Fake news. It's everywhere. And there's no free speech in this country. If I want to go out and speak, I have to be careful if I want to go to a university that I don't offend the student population. There's no free speech. That never used to be. Whoever stood up, the university that I speak to, they'd make sure. If you do that, then you're going to find yourself another university. No more. Why? Because they're the same way. Our country is divided. And I mean divided in ways we could never have imagined years ago. And that's why. Because of men's wisdom. Because of men's truth. Because your truth is not my truth. And you can believe. I remember being in the military, and somebody said something to me about the war in Vietnam. And of course, I joined the Navy in 1964 because I wanted to fight for this country. And I came home on leave once, and somebody grabbed a hold of me, and they said, you know, what about this and what about that? I said, listen, I listen to everything you say. I don't agree with a bit of it. But I said, let me tell you this. I'll go back to my duty station, and I'll die so that you'll be able to say that to anybody you want. That's gone. There's no more free speech here. That's man's truth. And brothers and sisters, it's just not here. It's everywhere. If you go up to somebody that's in ISIS and ask them what the truth is, and you ask another Muslim what the truth is, they don't know what the truth is either. It's terrible. Man's truth. What a weapon Satan has, amen? What a weapon. But there is a truth, and that's the second truth, God's truth. Now, I can absolutely positively tell you, and I'm going to prove this to you, that God's truth is the truth for many reasons. I'm just going to point out a few of them. Our text says, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what God says. The first thing I see in this text is that it's implying that those who are outside of Christ don't know the truth. Because he's saying, you abide in this word right here, you make this the rule of your life, and you're going to know the truth. Which implies that if you don't abide in this word, you're not going to know the truth. And isn't that true? I assure you, if you take your Bible and you go sit somewhere, when people come in and say, listen, I want to tell you some truth. It comes right out of here. Let me read this to you. You know what they're going to do. They're not going to let you read it to them. Because they have their own truth. But this is the truth. And anybody outside of Christ doesn't have that truth. And you know why? Because anybody outside of Christ is connected to Satan, the father of lies. That's the reason why. And God says there's no truth in him. None. So it's only by abiding in God's word that a person can actually know the real truth. The only truth. The unbiased truth. A truth that's not seasonal. A truth that's not limited. And the text finishes by saying the truth will set you free. Let me ask you something. Before you were saved, did you think that you were in bondage? I didn't. I thought I was doing just well, just great. But the fact of the matter is the truth told me that I was in bondage, and after the chains were taken off, I saw it. Note. Jesus doesn't mean, and this is important, Jesus doesn't mean that if you know the truth will set you free. He isn't saying that knowing is just enough. He's telling you that you have to know it, but just knowing it by itself is not going to cut it. It means you have to abide in his truth. You have to persevere in your faith. Matthew 10:22. You have to receive his doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16. You have to live and walk in the truth, Colossians 1:10. And you have to be obedient to his word. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. If you do those things, you have a knowledge of God. And in that knowledge of God, you'll learn the truth, and that truth will set you free. In John 14:23, it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That text is also promising that by abiding in God's word, that that truth will set you free. What does that mean? That means that you'll receive the freedom from the bondage of sin and the father of lies, Satan. You're freed from that. I have two proof verses for that. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Once you know Christ, once you abide in his truth, once you live and walk according to his word, once you do those things, sin no longer has claim on you. Now you're the servant of God. Listen, get something straight. There's a lot of people, Martin Luther said, freedom is much ado about nothing. You're never free. You come into this world in bondage because of original sin. You're in bondage to the devil. And if God calls you into his kingdom, now you're the servant of God. What about freedom? You're delivered. It says in Colossians 1:13-14, he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You serve God. And you're free to make your choices. But all of your choices now will be dictated by abiding in his word. Previously, your choices, you only knew evil. You didn't understand or know the good that's in this word because you weren't enlightened to it. You may have read it, but until you're saved, you don't get it. You have to understand that God has to do a work in your heart. And then you get it. And you say, yeah, I'm free from the sin. I don't have to sin. That's evil because he says it's evil. I'm not going to do it. That's good. That's what I want to do. I want to do more of this and less of that. You go out here and you ask people that are unsaved, they can't make that distinction. Because the truth of God, they don't abide in it. They don't get it. They don't have it. Now, for those who want proof that God's word is the infallible truth on all matters of life and death, just consider this. Unlike man's truth, God's truth is immutable. It never changes. I've never seen a Bible that comes with yearbooks. It doesn't have to be updated. It's complete. It's timely. That is, it has an application to the issues of life as much today as it did the day the words were penned. It's just as applicable today as then. And I get the biggest kick out of liberal Christians who say, no, that's not true. No, the Bible was written in the first century, and in the first century things were different, and so now it doesn't apply. And when people tell me that, I say, go grab your Bibles real quick. I'm going to get some scissors, because I'm going to cut out of your Bible everything that's not applicable today. And you know what? If I do that, all you're going to have is two covers, because I have to cut everything out. It's all applicable. For example, I'll give you a perfect example of this. Consider the truths of the Ten Commandments. Now, they were written about somewhere between 3 and 3,500 years ago, and they've never changed. They're still the Ten Commandments. Not one thing has changed about them, and they're still a truth that's practiced around the world. What human culture could survive without the Ten Commandments? Imagine a society where there was no such thing as murder or stealing. Those are truths that God put in his word 3,000 years ago, and they're as applicable today as they were when he gave it to Moses. Or how about consider God's truth about the universality of sin. Sin is universal. It's everywhere. It's in every generation. Only God's truth gives you the origin, its effect on man, and its ability to infect every child of Adam. You can't find that stuff anywhere else. And then have it all match up from Genesis 3:15. And consider the countless millions of hours people have spent carefully studying every word of Scripture. And when it's viewed in context, no one has ever found an error or a contradiction in Scripture. And you know what? I did the research. That means that in 1,189 chapters and 31,102 verses, there's not one error or contradiction. How likely do you think that would be if it was just written by men? Over 1,400 years by 40 different authors who didn't even know each other. God's word is perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect in every regard. It's timely. It can be used in a year, if the Lord's willing, the year 2121. This word will still be here, and the word will still be as effective as it was in 1400 BC when Moses wrote it. Listen to how David describes the perfection of God's word. In Psalm 19, we read it in our scripture this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we also know God's word is the truth because it claims to change lives. Ezekiel 36, 25, 27, my proof verse. Thus saith the Lord, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my commandments. And Paul backs that up in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 2:15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? He's a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come new. And I want to tell you something. You, Ron, you, Christine, Raymond, Vinny, Josh, and every believer listening to this message right now or online, you are my witnesses, and you can testify that God has changed your life with his truth. None of you are the same now as you were before you were saved. There was a change. It's because of the truth. That's the only difference. And what about the world? The Bible is the only book that's ever changed the world. It's changed the whole world. And I would be remiss if I didn't add that, because before Christ, there were no hospitals. There were no orphanages. There were no food banks, no nurses. There was nothing to help anybody. There was no charity. You lived or died by yourself. That's a hard world, but that's how it was. But the gospel message came out, and people so wanted to plant the seed of the gospel in other hearts so that they would know the truth. They started hospitals. Florence Nightingale, she was a Christian. And even today, look at all the Christian organizations that flood the world trying to plant that seed. If Christ didn't come, the world wouldn't be the same. After our Lord's ascension, the gospel truth went out into the world, and it changed it completely. Now, I know that those are just words to you, changed it completely. But I think it's fair to say that the world we're looking at today is nothing like it would look like if the gospel truth wasn't in it. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about what the world would be like if there was no Calvary? How about this? No Christ, no Christian religion. No Christian religion, no evangelism. No evangelism, no hope. No hope, no God in the world. No God in the world, no pilgrims, no pilgrims, no colonies, no colonies, no Christian America, no Christian America, no meeting here this morning. Your lives would be all different. The whole world would be different. God's truth changed the world. That's a snapshot, beloved, of how the gospel truth of Christ and the divine providential plan changed the world. Yeah, would America have been populated? Sure, some Viking would have come over, maybe someone from the Orient, but it wouldn't be what it is today, and you wouldn't be who you are today. God's word changed the world. The truth, God's truth changed it. It changed you personally, and it changed the world in general. And one last aspect of God's truth that we should consider is our second verse, the consequences that apply to God's truth. And there are consequences. Look at our second text. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. The psalmist is describing a believer who's wandered away from God's will. The consequence that God's children face for disobeying his word is what? Chastisement. The Lord chastens his children for what reason? Not to punish them, but to bring them back. To restore the soul. Bring them back to the fold. Proof first, Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. You see, it's because we're blood bought that our divine Father keeps us from falling off that narrow path. We're blood bought. You can't walk away from your salvation. You can't. If you're truly saved, that can't ever happen. The world can't take you out of our Father's hand. How do we know that's true? Because the Bible tells us that. Jesus said, no one can take them out of my hand, and my Father is greater than I, and no one can take them out of his hand. Once you're in God's hand, that's it. And I've never really met a true Christian who was a Christian for any length of time who came up to me after, say, 5 years and said, you know what? I'm really tired of this goody-two-shoe stuff. I don't think I want to go to heaven. I think I want to go to hell. I never met anybody like that. When people apostatize from their faith, they were never saved to begin with. And it's important to understand that God's truth also tells us that the Almighty Creator, Jehovah Elohim, that's what that means, Almighty Creator, owns every single soul. He owns the believer, and he owns the unbeliever as well. Proof verse, Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That means every human being belongs to God, and they are responsible for their sins against him. I don't care where you are. And if you look in the book of Romans, you'll see in the first chapter, or chapters 1 through 3, Paul lays out perfectly that they are without excuse. They know God by his work. He left that as a witness to him. Everybody is responsible for their sin against him. So if a person rejects Jesus Christ and dies in their sins, the consequence is they have to pay their own sin debt. Let me tell you what the writer of the Hebrews, how he put it. He put it, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 10:29. Then he goes on to talk about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God takes sin more seriously than any human being can ever imagine. He knows what sin is, how destructive it is. He knows that it's an eternal thing because it offends an eternal being. Every time you commit a sin against me, you take something that's mine, you didn't really offend me as much as you offended God, because it was his rule that said don't steal. And if you die in your sin, then you're going to have to pay your sin debt. And Revelation 20, 13 through 15 tells us how that works. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the sea, the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the consequence of dying without Christ. Now, to give you a little more insight into that, Revelation 14, 10, and 11. This says, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. That's the truth. That's not my truth. That's God's truth. That's the consequence of dying outside of Christ. Rejecting the Lamb of God. That's the payment if you reject the Lamb of God. And if there's one this morning listening who's not saved, I want you to consider God's truths. All of them. All the things that I mentioned. And then I want you to decide if you're ready to face your Creator. If you're ready to stand before a sovereign God. Decide if you're having so much fun right now in your sin that you're willing to spend eternity in the flaming lake of fire. Decide that. Think and consider what I said about God's truth and the consequences. But if God's truth is warming your heart, and you don't want to pay the consequences of your sin, you see me, or if you're listening online, you call me, and I'll show you in God's word how he's calling you to himself. And in closing, I would leave you with a question, the same question I began with. What is truth? If you're depending on the world's truth and you don't know Christ, then I tell you, I recommend, I encourage you to enjoy your life here, because quite frankly, dear friend, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. Whatever you have, that's as good as it's going to ever be. This is your paradise, right here, limited to your lifespan. On the other hand, if you're depending on God's truth, then let me leave you, brothers and sisters, with a precious promise from John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him or her. I want you to take that wonderful verse home from John 12:26 and consider it as you start your new week. And know that by abiding in his truth, you have the victory over everything in this life. And you have all eternity to rejoice in the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we as human beings, you must forgive us, Lord, because we are just so callous with so many spiritual things. And just thank you, Father, that you give us grace that we need so badly, and to do everything, and even, Lord, to understand the consequences, and also, Lord, the great truth that we have, that we're set free from sin, Lord, and you set us free, and Lord, the last thing you want us to do is run back to it. Pray, Father, you would help us with that. Pray, Lord, you would help us to abide in your word more than we do. Pray, Lord, that you would open up our minds and our hearts, give us spiritual discernment, and help us, Lord, to glorify you with the days that you give us. You've done so much. And we, Lord, all you want us to do is, you just want us to follow your commandments and to bear fruit, much fruit, for your glory. Help us to do that in this upcoming week. We ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Our closing hymn is a bulletin insert. We'll stand and sing Constantly Abiding. If you don't know it, just sing along. It's a song that's pretty pretty simple. A hymn that